Well, did you know that this is International Coffee Month? Well, around here, every month is International Coffee Month with me. You know how I feel about coffee. And we love that Vermont Coffee Company is the official coffee of the Food Dude. And we especially love it because Vermont Coffee Company has just a larger mission than making great coffee, which, of course, is what goes on at Vermont Coffee Company. Vermont Coffee Company is involved with Food for Farmers, which is an amazing organization. You may be familiar with their work, maybe by another name or another concept, but so excited to be able to talk to the director and co-founder of Food for Farmers, Marcela Pino, who joins us on the line. Marcela, nice to have you with us.
Hello, how are you, Bruce? Thank you so much for the invitation.
Not at all. Happy International Coffee Month.
Yes, happy International Coffee Month. May good coffee come to you.
That's it. And you know, I think that's the key right there, because good coffee and exceptional coffee is so rewarding, and there's just no reason why you should have anything else in your cup. So
that is very true.
We start with that, and we have the awareness, so we want the awareness of what goes into that cup that makes it a better cup of coffee. Hey, a lot of people are just like, oh, it's hot and a little cream and sugar in it gets me going. That's what I need. And I'm fine. But there is so much more that goes into coffee products and coffee blends and even the places where coffee comes from. And that's where Food for Farmers comes in. Marcela, tell us about Food for Farmers. Now, we're aware of other organizations that raise our awareness and are really on a mission to make sure that those who grow the coffee have a good life and are rewarded for their work. And this is nothing new, but Food for Farmers, I think, is a little bit newer. Tell us about Food for Farmers.
Right. So our mission is to partner with coffee farming communities in Latin America to cultivate a food secure future. And this is, so we started because our friend Rick Pizer, who used to work for what it was then Green Mountain Coffee Roasters.
Sure.
And he, I don't know if you run, maybe you run into him in your coffee runs.
The name's familiar. I have a tangential connection with that company. It started out as something else, and I was not associated with it then, but it's kind of one big happy thing. So that's a familiar name to me on some level for sure.
Yeah, so they used to buy a big percentage of their coffee used to be fair trade coffee. So they did this study. They commissioned a study to understand if families that sold coffee at fair trade were better off than families that sold at conventional.
Huh.
And the price can be very different between, you know, if you go to buy your coffee at the supermarket. There are many good coffees at the supermarket, but there are certain coffees that are not specialty coffee, that are just blends that basically they don't really check for quality or for the livelihoods of the farmers or anything like that. So those coffees are sold at a much less price. And anyway, so Green Mountain used to buy a lot of coffee on the fair trade market, which secures a premium. And they discovered that there were this period of time that they called the thin months, Rick Pizer, the thin months, which is between harvests, when exactly like in dairy or in Vermont, this happens too, you know, when the money from the harvest has run out and you have to get ready for the next harvest,
sure.
But you don't have any other source of income. So during this period, families experience between 1 and 8 months of food insecurity. So now this is not famine, but this is cyclical. This happens every year for the families. So they eat less, they buy less quality food, they go into debt, they have to sell equipment, they have to sell their own seed, you name it. So there's many coping strategies that families do to overcome this period. So Rick invited my friend and also co-founder Janice Nat Warney and I to start an organization that focuses exclusively on solving the months of food insecurity for coffee grown communities. But of course, that's a, you know, it's a high,
it's a heavy lift, or it can be daunting lift, right. For sure. What's interesting to find out though, Marcella, is that in helping the coffee growing communities, there were some ancillary benefits. And as I say, we're all at least familiar with fair trade, and we are aware fair trade's been around for decades. And we certainly know on some level, we won't admit to it or whatever, that there's a huge difference between those premium coffees and the premium price and the end result of the fact that some of that is going to those who are growing it. It's like wine, where it is a definite parallel there. So we're at least aware of it. We can, you know, we can have little arguments about it and, oh, well, you know, it's $4 and all of this, but it really is, it's a higher calling if we think about it. And it's, and especially within sound of our voice here in Vermont, Marcella, we should really be more sensitive. You would think that we would be more sensitive to these needs, because the same needs that a dairy farmer in Moncton, Vermont has, a coffee farmer in Nicaragua has.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So you'd think we would relate to it.
We do. You know, I feel that Food for Farmer has kind of a double mission in a way, because in one hand, yes, we want to do field work and help communities overcome these months of food insecurity. And we can talk about a little bit more about how. But on the other hand, our other mission is really to increase awareness with customers and with coffee companies, you know, about the circumstances of these families. Because the huge difference is that in coffee, you know, a lot of the times these families, the producers, are not exactly in areas where there are services or even where the government really cares about them.
That's a great point. Their methods of getting their crop to market are primitive. Their methods of being able to pick and to package are primitive, not because, they're traditional people. It's just the way that it is. And then you say, you know, no electricity and no government support, let alone internet. And again, we should be able to relate to this. So
exactly.
But
right.
The thing that strikes me, Marcella, is that the exceptional coffees and in these coffee companies that we discussed, like Vermont Coffee Company, to seek out these exceptional coffees, very often there's a poignant story that goes with those who are growing these exceptional coffees. If there's a coffee that's being grown in a particular place in Brazil or in Colombia, then that particular farmer, through his or her own skill, or maybe it's terroir, maybe it's just the luck of the geography. It becomes even more precious. I mean, it becomes nothing less than a precious commodity, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, yes, we thought of a commodity like, you know, maize or beans, you know, that you don't. And
I was
of
thinking
course,
of gold myself, Marcella. But
well, that, yeah. Nice, Bruce. I like your thinking. but coffee, it is a precious commodity in the sense that many things wrong can happen in the process of getting to your cup. So, you know, the producer has to have the best practices. The inputs, of course, you know, and then the climate has to be good. The, you know, the transportation has to be fair, you know, like all these has things up, and then it has to be roasted right, which, you know, Vermont Coffee knows how to do. So all these things have to happen for a good cup of coffee to get to your lips. And that is what sometimes we don't look at, you know, how much work And we were talking about fair trade and all these things that people can do. And, you know, I actually support, I mean, many people criticize fair trade, but I actually support it because I have seen the huge difference that a certification like fair trade or organic has had in the community. The problem is, and this is the problem, is that 95% of the coffee come from smallholder farmers. You know, there is around 12, they say that 12.5 million families are involved in coffee, not involved, but they grow coffee. Mm. 95% of those are small. And unfortunately, the price of coffee, even in fair trade, even organic, is not high enough to pay for the cost of production if you have less than a hectare of coffee. So less than a hectare of coffee, you have to do something else because you're not going to cover your cost of production. So that's why Food for Farmers decided their model is based on diversification. So, you know, help the farmer to diversify from coffee, not to stop coffee because we want coffee. And also, you know, they can always sell it. There is a good market for it. So we don't want them to stop doing that. But we help them to develop other strategies to access food. So home gardens, a big one, farmers markets, and honey production, small yard animals that, you know, give you protein, but also you can sell them. It gives you compost. So it's a kind of a multi. It has a lot of strategies, and it all depends on what the circumstances, what the context of the farmer is, in terms of what can solve their problems.
And one thing I noticed from the foodforfarmers.org website is that there have been some unintended benefits to this. I notice 41% an increase in income among beekeepers. In Mexico. Now, that is a tremendous benefit to everybody because we can't get along without the bees.
Exactly. So it's not only income, but the coffee. Some studies say that if the coffee will increase their volume when there are enough pollinators around. So, you know, it helps the environment. And it helps the family because they are not even in sugar, as much sugar anyway. They're eating honey. So they call honey the medicine cabinet of the rural family.
Yes.
Because, you know, they have the pollen and they have the propolis, all these things. So it's, so there's a lot of unintended. And the other unintended, very important unintended or unexpected maybe. It is like expected, but is the work that we do with women. Women in coffee regions are often ignored. You know, they are relegated to work in the home, to help with the food, you know, to help with, you know, the harvest, but they're not really visualized. A lot of the times they don't get paid for the work that they do, most of the time, I would say. So we work with this woman and empowered. I don't love that word, but it is true. I mean, they get empowered. You know, they learn that they can do things. So we have, for example, a group of women in Guatemala that where they did not have home gardens because every single piece of land was put on coffee. But this, you know, our program convinced them to, you know, invest in a little bit, in a little piece of, for their home garden. And they started little by little. It's a group of 30 women now. And then because of the trainings and because the collective work and the feeling that they can actually do things, they started a bakery on their own without our help or anything. Yeah, they started their own business and now they have a second source of income. It's women that have never received, you know, a salary.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? So, yeah. Marcela Pena, what can we do as we are in the coffee aisle or browsing the website at Stonewall Kitchens? What can we do to make sure that we're supporting food for farmers as we enjoy Vermont coffee?
Right. So if you go to, when you choose your coffee that you're either going to take to your house to brew there, or you go to a coffee shop, just make sure that there are some indication that the company that is producing it does return to, does give back to the communities, the coffee growing communities. So Stonewall and Vermont Coffee Company is a great example. They have been long-term supporters of Food for Farmers. We're so grateful for their contribution. And they are aware that we cannot all make it alone, you know, that we have to give back and not only buy a good quality coffee, which they do, but also on top of that, you know, they do extra work. They go the mile. So just make sure that your coffee has some signal.
You bet.
That the company is giving back.
And here's an easy way to do it. Just choose Vermont Coffee Company's Friend Blend, which is a delicious blend of light and dark roast coffee. But 5% of the revenue from each bag of Vermont Coffee Company's Friend Blend will be donated to Food for Farmers. There you go.
There you go.
So and easy of course, enough, the other and it's a great coffee.
Yes. And the other way is just to go to foodforfarmers.org, check out our information. And if you're inspired, you know, give us your donation.
You bet. It's such an interesting read to find out about how the Good Food Every Day for Coffee Farming Families works. And you can visit food4farmers.org. And it's so relatable, again, especially if you're within sound of our voice in Vermont or in the North Country, that I think it'll be information that you'll say, oh, wait, I kind of knew that already. But it's very, very interesting. And Marcela Pena, congratulations to you and to your team for keeping this going. Director, co-founder of Food for Farmers, and it's so great to be working with you and with Vermont Coffee Company.
Thank you, and thank you to Vermont Coffee Company. I really enjoyed this conversation and the invitation. Thank you.
You bet. We'll talk again soon. Thanks, Marcela, very, very much indeed.